Thank you, choir. Well, we are in for a treat today. I'm going to invite you to go on and get your Bibles out and turn with me to Luke chapter 11. Your order of worship says that I'm going to read the scripture for you, but I'm actually not going to do that. Our guest preacher will read her own text as she preaches in a few minutes, but I want you to be ready. If you don't have your Bible with you, I invite you to grab one off the hymnal shelf in front of you, or to use your phone or tablet, whatever you need to have a copy of the scriptures. I am pleased to introduce you all this morning to the Reverend Gene Tippett. For those of you who may not speak Methodist, Gene is our new district superintendent, which means that she is the overseer of all the Methodist churches and Methodist clergy in Baldwin County and Escambia County and several other areas, the Bay Pines District. There are about 60 churches and pastors across this area that she is the supervisor for, that we all report to her. She sits on our bishop's cabinet. Our bishop is based out of Montgomery and oversees all of South Alabama and the panhandle of Florida. But I don't introduce Gene to you just as someone who's been appointed this summer to the cabinet. I introduce Gene to you as someone who I've been doing ministry with for 30 years now. As an aside, before I tell you a little bit about Gene, both my wife, Susanna, and Pastor John's sister were in Gene's youth group when she was the youth director at Christ United Methodist Church in Mobile years ago when John was in college and would come home and see his family. He can remember Gene there at the church in Mobile. But my story with Gene begins when I was a 15-year-old and someone invited me to church. Maybe it was a back-to-school Sunday. Hint, hint, hint. Someone invited me to church, and I went to a youth week for the first time, and the speaker at that youth week was Gene Tippett. She was just a few years older than me, but she was one of the first people that I heard proclaim the gospel, and it made an impact on my life. And over the course of my high school years, Gene's messages and then the counsel of a shared mentor that we both have, Greg McKinnon, influenced me to begin a life of faith. When I was wrestling with a call to ministry when I was in college and thinking about what it might look like to go into ministry, it was Jean who became a mentor from a distance. She was a youth pastor in the Mobile area, and through youth events and trainings and speaking at camps and retreats, we crossed paths over and over again, and she encouraged me as I pursued what it was that God wanted for me. We did youth ministry training events together, and I'm convinced that some of the best laughter I've ever had in my life was the night before those training events, when all these youth pastors from all over Alabama and Florida would get together, and we would sit around outside a hotel and tell stories into the late hours of the night. If you fast forward a few more years after I had finished seminary and was pursuing the ordination process, I was appointed to the Spanish Fort United Methodist Church to be an associate pastor there. And lo and behold, when I got to Spanish Fort, Jean had moved across the bay, and she was the youth director at the Spanish Fort United Methodist Church. We served 2 years together, and what were both formational years for us both. It was during those years that Hurricane Katrina hit, and Gene spearheaded a large recovery effort based out of the Spanish Fort United Methodist Church. One of my fondest memories that I forgot to tell the 8:30 service was Gene and I together put a tarp on the roof of the Jitney Jungle Grocery Store in Biloxi, Mississippi. It wasn't just a tarp, it was really the front of a billboard that someone in our church had given us. And I remember standing on the roof of that grocery store after Katrina going, "What in the world are the two of us doing up here putting this on this grocery store?" But sure enough, they let us do it. That Katrina work spurred Gene on into a deeper sense of calling and going to seminary, and since being ordained, she served churches from Western Mobile all through the panhandle of Florida, and most recently, she was back on staff at Christ United in Mobile as the pastor of discipleship, preaching and teaching and leading people to love Jesus there. Pure and simple, Gene Tippett is one of my favorite people. She has been a fixture in my life. She has a long track record of leading people to love Jesus, of encouraging other people to follow him. She is going to be an outstanding district superintendent, and I am so glad that our paths have crossed together again to be in ministry. And this season, I'm so glad that you, Foley United Methodist Church, get to know her and walk with her too. She is married to Keith, who is here with one of their two adult daughters in the back, Ashley. They have another adult daughter, Amy, who is not here. And I'm going to invite Jean to come now and invite you to welcome her as she proclaims the word to us this morning. Jean, come with us. I'm glad you're here. Yes.
There's not much to say after he tells you who I am, is there? Yeah. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to be in this house. What a choir.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen, amen.
Yeah, that was amazing. Good job. So it is good to be here together with you today. I am excited to be a district superintendent. It's a whole new journey for me. I feel like God's got a lot to teach us all through this, and so I hope you're willing to learn with me. When you become a district superintendent, people begin to ask you, like, well, you know, when did you apply for that job? You don't apply for this job.
Amen.
And if you did, I wouldn't.
Amen.
I just couldn't get my head around any of these questions. And then Darren McClellan, who was your last DS, many of you might have met him, he's an amazing man of God. He and I were sitting and talking one day, and he said, well, I think the good question for you, Dean, is what would you want this place to look like when you leave here in 6, 7, 8 years? What do you want the Bay Pines District to look like? And as he said that, it was like a bell just went off in my head, and I knew the answer instantaneously. Because for many, many years now, probably about 30 years, maybe more, I've had one thought in my head about who I, Jean Tippett, want to be. I want to be a person who is known for who a person who loves God and loves others.
Okay.
I mean, it is the great commandment, right? To love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength, and to love others as yourself. And that is simply who I want to be. But it's not just that I want to be that, right? It's that I want you to be that. See, I want everybody I know, I want the world to know that very truth. I want the world to love God and love other people as well. And so it's easy for me to know what I want us to look like, what I want Holy United Methodist Church to look like. I want you to be people who love God and love others. I want our district to be the place where people say they love God and they love others. I want our to be that. I want our denomination to be that. I want Christians around the world to start acting like that.
Amen.
That's who I want us to be. I want us to be people who love God and love others. And so as I begin to think about this, my first opportunity, hint, hint, to be with you in worship, and I begin to consider what I might say to you, I thought about, what is one of the best ways we express love? What is one of the key ingredients to expressing love of God and love of people? And for me, so often I find that loving in any way expresses itself in communication, in communion, in conversations, in those moments where we sit with each other and we are present with each other. I was telling the 8:30 crowd one of the best moments, an empty nester, and I'm a mother. My children both live, one lives in Birmingham and one lives in Atlanta. Now, we get the joy of having my youngest child here today with us
And last night, we got about these 6 hours of undistracted Ashley time. In the middle of that, we were walking on a pier out over the Mobile Bay on the water, and our oldest daughter FaceTimed in on that magic thing called a phone. Isn't that magical? Because there we were, the whole family together, in kind of conversation, talking and listening, and mostly talking all at the same time. That's how we do. We're kind of Aborigines in that. And we just were all kind of talking. And I realized what a precious moment of sharing love that was. So as I had begun already, I look back at the lectionary. Now, the lectionary is the passage of scripture that around the world churches are using to preach the gospel this morning. Some Methodists, Episcopalians, Lutherans, Presbyterians, you never know who might actually be using this very passage this morning. And lo and behold, this passage is about communicating with God. It is all about prayer. And prayer is that opportunity for us to express both the love of God and the love of others. And so I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 11. And we're just going to read two sections. We're going to start with the first in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. It says, now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And so Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. Now you know these words. Now maybe you know them in the way we said them earlier, right? The way we said them earlier kind of sounds a little King James-ish. It's our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. But these very specific words that Jesus taught the disciples to say. And I've heard people say, well, I just can't pray like some people. I just can't pray. You know, John gets up there and he says all those really nice prayers for pastoral prayers and Nolan prays. And I don't know how to pray like that. But I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter what dialect you speak. It doesn't matter what language you speak. And it doesn't matter, in fact, what species of animal you are. Because God hears, understands, and knows exactly what you mean and what you're saying.
Amen.
I want to read to you this passage out of Psalms 96, verse 11. It says, let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people in faithfulness. There is no dialect, no language, no slang, no words that you have to know to hear it. It's just prayer. It's just talking to God. And however you say it and whatever you say, he hears it. He understands. See, I believe he gave us that very scripted thing called the Lord's Prayer simply so that we would have a form. The form that has praise and worship. A form that has that ability that we can go to the Lord and ask him for our basic needs of bread and food. And that basic form of asking for repentance and confession and receiving mercy. See, God hears our prayers no matter how we speak them. But there's more to the lectionary passage today. And I want to read to you, continuing in verse 5 down through verse 13. It says, and he said to them, which of you has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is shut. My children are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, because of his perseverance, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be open. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead give a fish, will give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? See, this part of the passage, I think, gives us pause.
See, this part of the passage may be the part of the passage that keeps some from praying. Because we get to that part right there in the middle that says, ask and it shall be given, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be opened. And we kind of get that feeling of, well, I've asked God for some things that didn't happen. Or maybe God didn't.
that I want us to end on today. In verse 13, I'll read it to you again. It says, "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" I'm not here to preach to you about the Holy Spirit today, but I want to tell you, that's the best gift. See, the best gift we could get for any prayer that we were to pray would be the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because it is the Holy Spirit that gives power to heal. It is the Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us. The Bible in John 15 and 14 and 15 said, "And He is the Spirit that will guide us to all truth." If you've got a problem right now, if you've got financial needs, if you've got stress in a relationship, the Holy Spirit will guide you to the truth as you seek God. As we seek God in prayer, we seek Him for all sorts of things. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will give. The Holy Spirit will give us talents and gifts to do the work of loving others. And the Holy Spirit will give us the fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us that when we pray, when we ask, when we seek, when we knock, that the Father's going to answer. He's going to give us something greater than we have. Something better than all the things we can ask for. He's going to give us the Holy Spirit. I want to invite you today, and I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to love God and love others. And I want to challenge you to express that love by true, believing, and powerful prayer, because God will hear you and He will answer. Let us pray. Lord God, I come to You today and I pray for the people in this room. I pray that right now, Holy Spirit, You will fall upon us all. That we will experience Your anointing and Your grace and Your power. That we will be guided to truths. That the issues that we bring and lay at Your feet of hurt, lostness, financial needs, confusion, that we will trust for the Holy Spirit to bring truth, to bring revelation. And that we will trust in God to answer our prayers. And so, God, we pray. Because we want to be people who love You and love others. We pray. Hear us. Hear us, O God. Hear our prayers. Amen.